pretty powerful. I mean, consumerism, I believe, affects us way more than we realize. It's just never enough. It's always just more. And it actually starts to affect not just our behavior, but our aspirations. So think about this for a second. How much do you think consumerism really impacts you? Like individually, you as a person, you at home, in your day-to-day life, in your moment-to-moment actions. Let's do a quick little survey just to see if consumerism has had any effect in our ability to recognize things, or even when you see something that you like, it aspires you to want that, or you even feel like sometimes you need it. So I'm going to show just a few pictures, and I need some interaction. So it's a new year, so it's a new you. You can do this. You can say things out loud. Tell me what these stand for, what they mean. Let's show the first one. Nike, just do it. What about the next one? It's the greatest product ever, really. So Android people, I'm sorry. What about this next one? Where I say all great things come from, Amazon. What about this last one here? Jesus. It's what some people don't really recognize sometimes in the image of the cross. It's our, not just our promise that God brought freedom through the death on the cross and the rising again, but it's really our marching order. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. So I think we can all agree, just by this quick little test, that consumerism has had an impact on our lives. Because the reality is, what we consume, what we read, what we see, what we hear, what we watch, where we spend our time with or in, what we're thinking about impacts not just our world around us, but how we individually act, how we actually engage with each other and how we engage with the world. It even influences what we tend to aspire to be, especially the younger kids. I mean, I was in that boat. You know, those things impact what you want to grow up to be and do. And the whole goal of consumerism, as that video showed, is to leave you with the idea of just wanting more, that you're never fully satisfied, that you need the next thing, that you're never really content with where you are. So what we consume, what we spend our time, our energy, our money on impacts what we do and who we become. So my prayer this morning as we get into this week's message is that not that we just have this knowledge, but this knowledge begins to turn into some action. Because if we aren't careful, this idea of consumerism and where we're spending our time, energy, and money impacts our relationship with Jesus way more than we may realize. So before we jump into this message this morning, let's pray. God, we just ask you to come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, would you just come and open up our eyes and our ears and our minds and our hearts to what you have for us. And God, do convict us, and not in a shameful way, but in the only way that you can, God, that you just convict us where we are consuming things that aren't of you. So that, God, we can turn from those things. We can repent and say, God, we want more of you and less of what the world has to offer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. If this is your first time here online or in person, thanks so much for joining us. Do want you to go to bacclive.com, click that first time guest box, or fill out the connect card for all of you that haven't done so. And if you're watching online, if you don't mind sharing this on your social media feed, we'd love this to be an encouragement to everyone else as well. We are in our second week of groundwork. Last week was completely online. We're back in person, obviously, now. Where we really, the whole idea of this series is laying the groundwork of Scripture, laying the groundwork of the Bible. And we have a reading plan. So if you're new or checking us out for the first time, I encourage you to grab a Bible on your way out. And inside, you're going to have a memory verse with the reading plan on the back of that. Hopefully, you guys have been engaging in that. I did as well. I am 5 for 5. Anybody else 5 for 5 this week? Good job. If you're not, start where you are. No shame. But this morning, we're going to continue to lay that groundwork. We're going to introduce a familiar person to the story of Scripture. We know him as Abraham, so if you've been around church a while, we're reading through, obviously, parts of Genesis, which I believe is the most read book in Scripture, because a lot of people have made resolutions or goals every year. Like, I'm going to read through the Bible this year, and you start with Genesis, and then somewhere around Leviticus, people tend to just die out, which is the great part of this reading plan, because it's 2 chapters a day, 5 days a week. So if you miss a day, you have the weekend to make it up, which I did this week. So, and again, we know him as Abraham, but early in Scripture, he's known as Abram. Early in the Bible, he's known as Abram. God changes his name to Abraham. And unlike what we think of names, some of us think this way, but especially the Hebrew thought, was names meant something. They had meaning behind them. So Abram meant exalted father. Abraham, when God changes his name, means father of a multitude or father of nations. So this morning, we're going to look at the beginning of Abram's name change, which you're going to read later this week in your reading plan. So with that in mind, if you want to head to page 24 in your Disciple Bible, if you have one. If not, we're going to have the verses up here. But again, if you want one, grab one on your way out. This is for every adult, so you don't no need to share a Bible. If you're two adults in the house, get two Bibles. We really want you to, there's a journal in here. You can take notes. You can write in a Bible. You'll be fine. I know some people are like, I can't write my Bible. You really can. You'll be absolutely fine. But we're going to look at Abram and at the beginning of his name change. So this is on page 24, and this is out of Genesis 12. So if you want to go there, I'm going to go there and try to read out of this, but I am older now, so I need these things right here. So no laughing. This is what it says. The Lord said to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So we kind of know this. We know the promises. It sounds like a great promise, like sign me up for that. It's a familiar story for a lot of us. But let me provide a little bit of background here so that we can truly kind of see what's going on. Back in Genesis 11, one chapter before, which again you're going to read as part of your reading plan this week, you're going to see that Abram was born in Ur Chaldeans, I think is how you pronounce that. This is Babylonia, present-day Iraq. So the Tower of Babel, maybe you're familiar with that story. This is kind of that area. The people of God who were sent to expand the name of God and the kingdom of God, they had this mandate from God, but they decided, you know what, we want to make our own name. We want to have a name for ourselves. So they build this tremendous city, and they begin to build this tower that stretches to the sky. Well, Scripture says they wanted to do this again, to make their name great, not God's name. So God, instead of letting them make their name great, changes up their language. He squanders their plans, and they have to then disperse throughout the land. God is like, hey, you're now worshiping these pagan gods. You're doing these pagan things. You're not making me the main thing. You're making all these other things great. You're being consumed by anything other than me. So Abram and his relatives also would have worshiped all these pagan gods, which you can read in Joshua chapter 24. So it didn't take long for the people to mess this up all over again. You had Noah, you had the flood, he wipes everything out, starts all over, but now people are messing it up all over again. But God, in his mercy, tries to start all over again, but this time without everyone dying out with the flood. So after Babel, God uses the generational line of Noah. 10 generations later, we see Abram enter the scene. God is making a new beginning. Abram is another Noah. This new beginning, though, comes with really a test of obedience. It comes with a risk. It requires faith. So let's read it again, kind of with that background. It says, the Lord said to Abram, if you want to go back and look at it, go from your land where you're currently residing, your relatives, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you, who treat you with contempt. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So the word of the Lord that created everything is now using Abram to dedicate the land to God's kingdom. It's like, you're going to rededicate the land to me. We want everybody to be eyes on me, that I am the true Lord. But Abram, in order to do this, has to leave everything. And you've heard messages of this. You've thought about this, I'm sure. But he has to make a clean break with his past. Everything that's near and dear to Abram, he has to let go of. And this, again, is hard to sometimes grasp in our Western culture. But family was everything. Your relatives were everything. He had to leave behind everything that he's ever known. And when you did that, if you left your family, unlike now, like if your kid goes to college and goes out, we don't think this way, but in the Hebrew thought was when you left your family that way, you were basically saying, you're dead to me. I don't want to be any part of you in this family. So Abraham's house, his father's house, was his house. Abram's father's gods were his gods. Abram's father's goods and were his goods. Everything that was his father's was his. And he has to leave it all behind. And not only would this not happen very often, this would be extremely hard. It would be extremely difficult. Abram is asked to leave the comfort, the stability, the love of his family, all his community, and head out to the unknown. Now think about this. God has asked him to do this amazing, hard thing. But in those words or in those verses that we look at, he gives him seven promises to make him into a great nation, to bless him, to make his name great, which is what his relatives tried to do with Babel. They tried to make their own name great. He's saying, I'm going to make your name great. He will be a blessing. God will bless those that bless him. God will curse those that curse him. And through him, all families of the earth will be blessed. But these blessings, the promise that God has for his chosen people, comes with kind of this hitch. You have to have faith. You have to believe. His presence is going to restore all that was lost in Genesis 3, which Cody talked about last week. And as great as Abram is, he isn't the one that we talked about last week that's going to crush the head of Satan. But his family lineage, his family line, will include Jesus. And of course, he will. Now, Abram has a choice. Is he going to stay as culture expects, as everybody does? Or is he going to go out to the unknown and leave everything behind? And again, I know it's hard to imagine this in our day and age, but Abram would have had no idea what was waiting for him. He didn't have Google Earth. There were no maps that said, oh, if you go this way, this is what's going to happen. The only thing he had was stories that he's been told from a baby until now. He didn't have the internet like we do. We walk around with computers. He had nothing except for God's word. But remember, Abram worshiped lots of gods. He's probably heard lots of quote words, but he hears the word of the Lord. So what does he do? What does he do? Let's go back to our verses. Let's pick it up in verse 4 in our Bibles. It says, so Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left. And then it says he took his wife, Sarai, and his nephew Lot. We know her as Sarah. She gets a name change as well. And all the possessions they had accumulated, all the people they'd acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan. So he says yes. He just says, I'm going to follow. Abram decides, I'm going to trust God's word, and I'm going to leave everything behind. Now, in order for Abram to be made into a great nation, children are involved. It would require a family line, a lineage, as we just kind of talked about. But the problem is, his wife is barren. They haven't been able to have children. He's 75 years old. So Abram, even in leaving, saying yes, has already got these two of these promises really are set up for failure. But Abram has enough faith, enough belief to leave and not even question. We don't even read that he questions this. We don't even read that he sleeps on it. He just goes. As a matter of fact, just like Noah before him, his simple yes and obedience to leave the unknown, just like Noah did to build the ark. So Abram, his wife, his nephew, his slaves, his possessions, his livestock, they head out to this great unknown, this great unknown future. And there are great similarities as we read this story and him leaving everything behind to our own faith journey. There are great similarities. Now, we may not be asked to leave our family. We may, but, and it's not really as unknown to us as it was to Abram. There's some things that we kind of get and understand, but there are things that we have to leave behind. Some of us have to leave behind a dating relationship because now the other person isn't a believer in Christ. Some of us have to leave behind an activity that we know is sinful. Others of us have to look at our calendar and figure out what are we going to leave behind to dedicate more time to God. Others of us have to leave behind friendships. But there's decisions that we have to make to leave things behind, to go into uncharted territory as a follower of Christ, That's certainly part of my story. When I became a Christ follower, I had to leave behind some of my closest friends for almost 2 years. I just knew if I was around them, I was going to continue with the same behaviors. We were going to go out drinking and partying every single night, and it just wasn't going to be good enough. I wasn't spiritually strong enough to be with them. But after about 2 years, I was in a place spiritually where I could re-enter and re-engage those people, and I was able to hang out with them and not do all the things that I had done before. Now, some things that we leave behind will be left behind forever. Some things won't. But the beautiful thing about our faith journey, just like with Abram, we have the same promise he had, we have. The same promise Abram was given, we're giving. That God will never forsake us, that he will never leave us, just like he said to Abram. Now that we know all that Abram and the background and his family, everything he had to left, where he had to go, what he had to do, let's go back to the story in Genesis 12, verse 5. It says, when he came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land in the sight of Shechem at the oak of Moreh. Now, at this time, the Canaanites were in the land. And this is important because we can miss this. It's a quick couple of sentences, but those few sentences cover a 400-mile journey. 400 miles in just two sentences. So again, if we insert ourselves in the story, we don't really have any idea how long that journey might have taken. I mean, they had all the possessions, they had all the livestock, they had some people, they had some slaves. We don't know how dangerous this journey would have been, but they go through it. Lo and behold, they finally get to the land, the site, Shechem. And his journey took him from north to south, and he arrives in what Scripture says is the good land. And later in Scripture, you'll read that this same land is referred to as flowing streams and a land with wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, and pomegranates. The land of olive trees and honey. You read all about this in Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's like another paradise. A reference, of course, to the Garden of Eden. The land at the Oak of Moreh, which we just talked about, was a shrine that was developed for pagan gods where the Canaanites went and they worshiped all these pagan gods. So again, we have Abram setting up this, going to this place where all these pagan gods are. They're worshiping. These are the same people that Noah cursed in chapter 9, which you could have read about last week. In other words, Abram's not really a welcome sight. This is occupied territory that he's now entered into. I imagine if I'm Abram, I'm a little uneasy about this whole thing. God, where are you taking me? Why am I here? These people don't believe what I believe. And they're all, after all, he is a descendant of Noah. Again, he's down that family line. God, in his all-knowing, reassures Abram of his promise in verse 7. It says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, remember, I will give you this land. So he, Abram, built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to them. In the midst of uncertainty, among people who aren't worshiping the Lord again appears to Abram and reminds him. He gives him a bit more clarity. Hey, remember all those promises? Here's a little more clarity on one of those promises. This is the land that I promised I would show you. And although the promise is revealed, what we don't know is the timeline. When is this all going to happen? Abram responds. He says, from there he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram journeyed by stages to Negev. Now, Abram is reassured of his promise, and his response is to build an altar right there to the Lord, which, again, remember, is right in the middle, right in view of the Canaanite shrine to all these pagan gods. And remember, Abram's not a welcome sight. After all, he's standing in opposition to everything that they believe in as they worship and are consumed by these pagan gods. During this journey, it says Abram builds another altar to the Lord, occupied again in Canaan land, next to another pagan shrine. So in doing so, Abram, what he's doing is he's starting to rededicate the land to the Lord, just like Noah did before him. When he comes off the flood, if you guys remember, the first thing Noah does, he builds an altar. God will be king of this land, not these Canaanite pagan gods. not these other religions. But God's promised plan goes far beyond just redeeming Canaan and that land. God's promise was for the redemption and blessing, what did it say, of all families, of all nations. Abram played a part of this new redemption that's happening, this new rededication to the land with simply his obedience by saying yes. Because he said yes, we now have the family line. But obviously it doesn't come to completion until much further down his family line in Jesus. And I know if you're anything like me, and again, I'm a pastor, but sometimes you can read through the genealogies in scripture and be like, man, that is, why does this matter? And it's easy to skim through that, and I do my fair share of skimming through there. But this is why those things are important. And you can read all about the family line of Abram, who we know as Abraham in Matthew. Matthew is writing to a Jewish community. That's why the genealogy and the family line is so important. And it's in Jesus that we see the final work of the redemption. It's through his death on the cross, his rising again, his sacrifice to atone for all sins, for all mankind, once and for all, that truly cleanses the earth. This is how John, 1 John says it. It says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the one that is in right standing. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for those of the whole world. Again, because Abram had enough faith, enough trust in God's word, Jesus would come to redeem, to reclaim, to restore what has been lost. But Jesus doesn't come and die. He also rises again. But when he rises again, unlike the first time he walked with his disciples and physically walked with everybody and his believers, this time he leaves. Jesus leaves. But he sends his spirit with us so that we can once again walk with God, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. And we are given a very similar call that Abram had. Abram had this call. Hey, go and leave. Go and do. Our call as followers of Jesus is very similar. Listen to what it says in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, all authority has been given to me. This is Jesus speaking. All authority given to me, heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And remember, just like he said to Abram, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is our call. Not, again, necessary to leave our homes, our jobs, our families, and our friends behind, although he may ask, he calls us to be a disciple. And we define a disciple, scripture defines a disciple as a learner of Jesus. So we're a learner. We're part of the redemption. I mean, imagine that we get to be a part of, we get to be partners with Jesus to help redeem the earth for the kingdom of God. And although it may be logistically easier for us, it's no less hard, it's no less difficult than it was for Abraham. I mean, we too have to submit our lives like he did. We have to have faith like he did. We have to have enough trust like he did to ultimately follow Jesus wherever he may ask us to go, leaving things behind as we do. If he led Abram to difficult circumstances and to uncharted territory, even enemy territory, don't be surprised if God asks us to do difficult things. After all, it's not a bait and switch. Jesus is very clear on what it may cost us or what our call is as well. Listen to how he says it in Matthew chapter 10. He says, the one who loves a father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The one who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Anyone who finds his life will lose it. Anyone who loses his life because of me will find it. That basically means you can't love anything more than Jesus. You can't be consumed. You can't be distracted by anything more than Jesus. Jesus first. Abram left everything behind. Everything. And he lost the life that he always knew. The comfort, the family, the love, the camaraderie, all the great things. Some of you might be thinking, I'd leave my family and I'd leave everything behind right now. But there are still pieces of that that you love and you enjoy that you'd never get back. It's different. Abram left it all behind. And in doing so, he found a life that he never dreamt of. And you'll read how God redeems, how he does allow him to have a family line as well. And our question is, will we leave the comfort of the things we know? Will we leave the comfort of the things that we enjoy? Will we leave the comfort of some of the relationships we may have? Are we open to it? Will we risk it for something that's better? Or are we going to continue to be consumed on things that really don't truly impact our lives the way we think they do? Will we continue to be focused and consumed more about what the world offers and what the next thing is? Or are we going to be more consumed with who God is and what he has for us? Will we leave behind some of our wants for what our soul needs? Will we say no to some of the things the world offers for some of the things that God's kingdom offers? This is what we're invited to. This is our call, just like Abram had one, to follow Jesus into the promised land. And we get to begin right where we are and play a part of the redemption of the world. To live our lives with God who believes in us enough to trust us to go and make disciples. To trust us with the mission so that we can follow Jesus in the promised land. And to live our lives not just by our words, but by our actions. A life with Jesus, once you say yes, is so much better than a life without him. And the beautiful thing about the promised land is we're living in it now. It's the kingdom is here. It's now. It's present. It's just not fully here. To live our lives not just with the hope of a promised land, but be living in the promised land. We're invited into this journey, and we're called to leave our life of sin behind, to set up camp in the promised land of God as he redeems us, as he redeems those that who are lost, and as he prepares a new garden, recreates the Garden of Eden. Revelation gives us a glimpse of that garden. Listen to what it says. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, crystal, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the city's main street. Try to picture this. The tree of life was on each side of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. People will not need light of a lamp or light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light. He will be glowing, and they will reign forever and ever. One day, the earth will be redeemed, and there will be a paradise just like it was always intended. A place where there's plenty of food, plenty to drink, plenty of meaningful work, caring for God's creation. But above all, a place with close fellowship with God. You see this throughout Scripture. From the very first words, God was with Adam and Eve. Then when there's the tabernacle that's built. So God, you'll read this, that God could dwell with his people. Just like Adam and Eve, there's perfect fellowship. We get to experience that now in its fullness later. This is what awaits all of us that have said yes to Jesus. When we realize that we're in need of a Savior, that we aren't God's, that we don't know what's best for us, God does. When we say yes and humble ourselves enough to follow Jesus wherever he leads us through the power of his Spirit, when we're no longer consumed by the things of this world, but we're more consumed by him and the family of God, then we're a disciple, then we're a learner, then we're a follower. But the awaited gift of walking in perfect communion with God does not diminish our call now. Jesus still calls us to make disciples of all the nations. This is why our mission statement is what, this is why we added three little words to our mission statement. Making disciples who go to the missing, love the marginalized, and live as God's kids. Because if we're honest, without those first three words, it's really self-serving. Because if you aren't making a disciple, Scripture says you aren't a disciple. This is why we've put so much energy and focus and so much effort into our discipleship pathway. We know our call, our purpose is to train, equip, and raise up disciples. This is why we ask you to sign up for it. If you've not been a part of any of the classes, join the first one, Sunday, January 24th. If you've already gone through the Go Pathway class, February we'll do the next one, the Love Pathway class. But don't waste another second. Sign up for it. The beautiful thing about Jesus is he doesn't just give us marching orders and say, hey, good luck with that. Just go make disciples and let me know how that works out for you guys. He reminds us, he tells us, and remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He never forsakes us. He never leaves us. I know if you're anything like me, sometimes I leave him. I try to do it on my own strength and my own gifts, everything that I know. And then when none of that works out, then, hey, God, I need your help. I get it backwards sometimes. He's always with us. The question isn't really, can we do this? The question is, will we do this? And when you read later about Abram's name change and all the things that God has promised, we sang some of those today. All the promises to Abraham and Sarah as they continue to be fulfilled, those seven promises that God offers, those are the same promises of us, that God is always with us. And imagine if Abram would have just stayed put. If he had just said no, he's going to stay with his family, his community, his friends. He'd have missed out on this amazing adventure that God took him on, to be with God, to later have the family line lead to our Savior in Jesus Christ. This is what we get to play a part of. And I tell you, if you could just take 2021 and say, my goal is to just pursue Jesus. And for some of us, it looks completely different than others of us. Some of us are like, I'm going to just start. I'm curious. I'm not really sure. I don't know if I believe in Jesus. I don't know if I believe in Scripture. But I'll give it a shot. I'm going to read Scripture. That's the beautiful thing about the Bible. You can read the Bible and not believe in it. I truly believe when you do that, you're going to have more questions than you had when you started. And the Spirit of God's going to start working in you. Maybe you're just like, I've never read the Bible. You start where you are. That's why we have reading plans for each specific series. Start where you are. Start with this week's reading. Watch what God starts to do in you because his word is living. Start praying. Start being around. Get involved in a group. We're going to be launching those in February. Do some of the trainings. Next week's Hearing God's Voice. I promise you, if you come to that, you will not regret going to it. Who doesn't want to hear God's voice more? These are the things, we offer these things because we know a life with God is way more exciting than a life without him. Don't be consumed, as Scripture says, by the patterns of this world, but renew your mind with the mind of Christ. I want to offer you a few next steps. So take out your phones, go to bacclive.com, even you in person here, and there's a tab that says next steps. We offer you some next steps because we believe that Sundays impact your Mondays. And one of the ways that we do that is offering you a few next steps. I truly believe that when you write it down or make some prompts to say you're going to do these things, you're more likely to do them. The first one might be just accept Christ for the first time. Maybe today's the day that you, like Abram, says, yes, I will follow you wherever you go. Maybe today's the day you go, I got to leave these things behind. I know they're not healthy for me. I know they're not good for me. I know that left on my own, I don't make the best choices. I need somebody to save me. I need a savior, which is Jesus Christ. When you do that, you simply say, God, I'm sorry for the way I've been the author and perfecter of my own life. God, I trust you, the one who created me. You lead my life. And then sign up for the discipleship class on the 24th. Sign up now. Whether you've made a decision today or you've been a follower for 40 years, take the discipleship pathway class. Watch what God does when you do that. If you're not a follower of Jesus, go through the discipleship pathway classes. Learn more about who Jesus is and what Jesus did. The second next step is this. Accept the call to go make disciples. Go and make them. Like, how do I do that? Well, guess what I'm going to say. Go to the discipleship pathway classes. Learn more about that. We'll give you practical ways to do that. But one of the easiest ways is to live a life with Christ. That people would see you and they go, something different about that person. What is it? It's the Spirit of God that lives in you. The third one is receive prayer. You can do that at home. You can pray for one another. You can share your prayer requests at prayer@blueashcc.com. Here you can pray for each other if you're with somebody that came to church with you. Or you can come up and receive prayer. We have a prayer team. You have your mask on, we'll have ours. But this is just an intimate time that you get to seek the Lord. Some of that's listening, hearing God's voice. Some of that's praying for, requesting. Some of that's praising. God, thank you for the blessings in my life. Thank you that I have so much to be grateful for. Sometimes God reveals himself in such a way through prayer that he wouldn't do any other way. It's a part of who we are and what we do as a disciple. So we encourage you to come up and receive prayer. And our last next step, just like it was last year, except this year we have specific memory verses for the series. So if you have your memory card, you have both of those. I've been working on my memory of those verses, and I've got the first couple down. Hopefully you guys have been working on it, but it's just a couple of minutes a day. I have one on my dashboard, so if you want an extra one, let us know. I just look at it and try to commit that to memory. Jesus used scripture to defeat the enemy anytime he tempted him. And I believe that as we continue to memorize scripture, we'll be more able to walk through some of the temptations and hard times of scripture. Those memory verses are Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 3:15. If you have an offering this morning, they're going to come around with orange buckets. If you want to put that in there, or you can just do it online. Get all that information at bacclive.com under the give section. Do that online through the Church Center app. You can text, you can mail it in. Of course, if you're in person, you can do it here. And again, we couldn't do what we do. We couldn't give out thousands of dollars of Bibles without your investment and belief in our mission. Those are absolutely free. We want to get, I think it's a pretty good investment. It's a good place to start is scripture. That's why they're free. That's why we encourage you to take them. Because we believe that's where life change is going to happen. So the more you get into the Word gets into you. Let me pray. God, thanks for the story of Abram. Thanks for that's our story. That you call us out of a life of sin. You call us out of a life that isn't of you. You call us out of a life that's not walking with you at all to a life that walks with you always. A life that you never forsake us, you never leave us. Even when we wander from you, you never wander from us. All we have to do is call out your name. God, that even when you left, when physically, you sent your Spirit to live in us, to be with us. So God, we need you, we want you. For those that don't know you, God, continue to chase them down. Continue to prompt things in their minds and their hearts. Continue to reveal yourself through others that do know you, that do love you. God, for those of us that have said yes, God, help us to pursue you first. Help us to hold on to the promises that you've offered us. God, that you never leave us, that you never forsake us, that you're always there. Help us to turn to you. God, above all of it, help us to follow you.